Good morning.
The pasuk tells us, "Loisisa pnei dal, loisedar pnei gadol, v'tzedek tishvayr amisecha." Rishon Shmuel Hirsch points out that the beginning and the end of the pasuk seems to be telling us the exact opposite message. On one hand, loisisa pnei dal. There's a hashara that when a dayan is dealing with the din Torah, when the parties are in front of him, he cannot look at the parties, at the individuals, at their background. He cannot say, this person is a dal, he's an oni, I need to have compassion, I should go easy on him. And voisedar pnei gadol. In the same token, if one of the bali dinim is a powerful, a chashuva person, he cannot show any deference, he can't show any respect. And his responsibility is to look at the case, to look at the facts, and dan b'tzedek tishpat amisecha. Yet, from the same pasuk, b'tzedek tishpat amisecha, we learn that there's a chiv to be dan, it's called in l'kav svos. You have to give people the benefit of the doubt. When a person does something, it may look suspect, but the person has, in amisecha, if he has a cheskus kashus, we have to be dan l'kav svos. So what is this? Is the obligation of loisedar pnei gadol, we should ignore the fact of the godless? Or is the chiyuv b'tzedek tishpat amisecha? Which one is true? So Zakir Shem Shafal Hirsch, it depends on the setting. Loisisa pnei dal and loisedar pnei gadol is a din on bezdin. If you have a din Torah, if there's a dispute between the parties and you have to give a psak, so there the halacha is, kishayyeh ba'alei dinim lefanecha, then you be'enecha k'rishoim. You have to treat both of them like rishoim. You're not down the kav slos. You have to assume that they're lying. You have to assume that they're trying to cheat and steal. And you have to b'tzedek tishpat amisecha. But this applies only in the context of a din Torah. On the other hand, if you're dealing with someone as an individual, you have a dispute with someone. It's personal. There, we have to switch tracks. And there we have a chiyuv b'tzedek tishpat amisecha. We have a chiyuv to be done as called the mechav svos. And I think it's especially for us to keep in mind this message. We're going to be learning the halachos of nekach tois. I think everyone here has probably been a victim at some point of buying something and feeling cheated. The goods were of low quality and the store owner wasn't necessarily gracious with taking it back. So while we're going to learn the halachos, I'm going to learn the dinei chayshin mishpat of what our obligations are. We have to keep in mind there not to forget the chi of being down the kav skos. When it's our personal dispute, when it's our personal issue, we should try to give the other person the benefit of the doubt. Now the sugya of nekach tois, of mum, is what we're going to discuss buying an item, and it's defective. It's low quality, there's something wrong with the item that you bought. What are your rights? Now, many people have a very warped idea of what their rights are as a consumer. We live in what I call the Walmart generation, and our idea is you go to Walmart, and you buy something. 2 weeks later, you drop it into a puddle, and you bring it back and say, it broke, it stopped working. Now, as long as you're honest, you're not lying to them about what happened, and as long as you're not creating Chil Hashem, if they have a policy that they're willing to take anything back, great. They have a lot of leverage they probably send it back to their suppliers. Their suppliers don't have much clout when it comes to fighting with Walmart. So as long as you're not lying to them, and as long as it's not a Chil Hashem, they want to take it back, great. The problem is that when we then deal with a local store, and we have the same expectations. We expect that no matter what, they'll take things back. On the other hand, they don't have that clout with the suppliers. If they take back an item that broke, they will probably be stuck with it. And very often, they're not quite as gracious. The question is in halacha, when do you have a right to demand a refund, and when not? So let's begin. The halachas are primarily in Reish Lamed Beis. But before we start that, it's an important halacha in Siman Reish Chav Ches, Sevav. Asur lirmais bnei adam memekach u'memgar. It is asur to cheat someone in commerce, or to be goinev das. Gnevis das is to fool them and to get some sort of advantage from them by trickery. Kigoin, if you're selling something and there's a defect in what you're selling, you have a responsibility to inform the buyer that these goods are defective. If you sell an item without pointing out its defect, that is Gnevis Das, and that is going to be Aser. Af imhuakum, even if the buyer is a goy, the Isser of Gnevis Das applies, doesn't matter whether he was a Jewish buyer or a goyish buyer, to fool someone to sell items that are defective and sell them as regular quality items is an Isser Gnevis Das. This halacha is, you know, a bigger chiddush. Lo yimkol ebasr nevelo becheska shkuta. If you're selling a goy meat, and you're selling him, what happened is that the day before you had an animal, and it was an nevelo, it was a treifa, so you either sell it to him or you give it to him as a present. The Gemara says, that's gnevas das. The goy thinks he's getting kosher meat, and it's treif. Now the goy doesn't care whether the goy doesn't keep kashrus. But if you send him a present, a piece of meat, and he knows how much a Jewish pastrami sandwich is supposed to cost, so he's impressed. He sees that this Yisro really likes him. In reality, it's treif. He had nothing to do with it. So this is called Gnevis Das, and this is going to be Aser. Now, besides the Yisro of Gnevis Das, the Nesivus in Simon Tzamuch, in the Shittus HaRambam, says that you're also over an Yisro Oino. Oino. Now, this brings up an important point. When we deal with Mekach Toys, when we deal with selling defective merchandise, in reality, this is nothing to do with the halachas of Oino. Oino was when you overcharge someone. Someone walks into your store, you're selling a car, the car is worth $10,000. This person is naive, you sell them for $12,000, $13,000. That's an Isser Oino. You've overcharged him. Mekach Toys has nothing to do with Oino. You know, he can come you can sell him the car for $10,000. Now, he doesn't know there's a problem with the transmission. Had the transmission been in perfect condition, the car would have been worth $12,000. So he comes into your store. You tell him, "I'm going to give you a steal of a deal, $10,000. You know, just take it." So in that case, you're over your Isser of Gnevis Das. There, because what you sold has a mum, it has a defect. There's something wrong with the car that you haven't disclosed. But there's no way no, because he's paying $10,000, and the car is actually worth $10,000. So it's a completely separate issue. Oino is when you charge him too much. Mekach Toys is when you're selling him defective goods. Now, in many cases, when there's a Mekach Toys, it will also be Oino. Because if you sell him the item at full value, and he doesn't know about the defect, so he'll have a claim that there's a defect at the Mekach Toys, he'll also have a claim that you overcharged me. Because an item with a defect is worth less. So in many cases, we'll have to deal with both sugyas, but again, conceptually, there are two different concepts, and you will have cases you can be over one without the other.
Wouldn't that be his responsibility to say why you're selling for $3,000 less? Isn't it like you have to do, obviously, why is it green?
So we will get to later on, there is an issue of if a person could have checked and didn't check, we'll have to deal whether that's a mechila. But on the other hand, if he comes, you know, especially with used cars, he'll tell you that I got a good deal, it was a trade-in, all sorts of stories like that. I mean, I'll tell you, you know, B'didi Haviyovda, when I came back from Eretz Yisrael, and I bought a used car. So I bought a car, it was then 4 years old, and it had 40, 50,000 miles, and it was a very good price. I went down into the lot, and I noticed he had a bunch of cars of that, the same age, same price. What was interesting is some of the cars had 40, 50, 60,000 miles on it, and some of them had 80, 90, 100,000 miles on it. And they were all the same price. So I asked the fellow, like, what's going on? How come these are more expensive? How come they're the same price? If one is much older, you know, one, obviously the car with lower mileage is much better. So the fellow got very annoyed with the question. He said, you have to look at the car. If it's a good car, it's a good car. I don't care what it says on the odometer. If it's not a good car, it's not. You're looking at the wrong thing. A few years later, the conversation didn't mean that much to me, but a few years later, the gentleman was busted by the feds for turning back the odometer. Now, what was the pshat? this fellow obviously learned Hilchos Oino, but he didn't learn Hilchos Nekach Dais. So to go ahead and to overcharge a person for a car, he would never do. He was charging the fair price for a car with 100,000 miles on it. But people weren't buying it. So in order to convince them to buy it, he went ahead and changed the odometer. But what was interesting, it was a very interesting, you know, you see with Ganev, it was an Erlich Ganev. Because for the sake, he could have charged me $12,000 for the car. But he didn't want to do that because he didn't want to rip me off. So he only charged the fair price for this car. And you know what? It happened to me in this story. I learned a lot from it. Because most Ganovim, in their mind, have some sort of justification. And to him, again, I know he wasn't willing to do. Kenevis Das, he missed that shear or something. So that's the concept of Kenevis Das. Mechatois and Kenevis Das when there's a defect. So the price could be fair. You're not ripping him off. But the fact that you're selling him defective merchandise and you're passing it off as a regular quality item, that itself is a mum, a mekach toys, and it's grounds to back out. Now, besides the Isser of Heter Shabbai, the fact that you're over an Isser of Ganevas Das, and possibly an Isser of Aino, the halacha is that if you sell something with a defect, the halacha is they have the right to back out of the deal. You can be chayzer. There's a chazaka that when a person buys something, he's buying a dover sholem belit. There's a chazaka that when a person buys something, he's expecting quality goods. And therefore, if you do not deliver that, then it is a mekach tois. He has the right to say, this is not what I had in mind. Take the item back, and he's entitled to a full refund. Now, what he's not entitled to do, in most cases, is to ask for an adjustment. Now, if you buy a car, and there's a mum, there's something defective. Now, you happen to like the car, and you know it was a good price. You're not going to find it elsewhere. So you go to the seller and tell him, do me a favor. I want, you know, there's this issue with a car. It's, had I known about this, I would have paid you $500 less. Give me a credit. The halacha is nothing doing. If it's a mum, then it's a mekach tois. You have the right to undo the deal. Give back the car, get a full refund. But to force the seller to give you a credit or to make an adjustment, that you have no right to do. And therefore, when you do claim mekach tois, it's generally a take it or leave it proposition. You have to be prepared to give the item back and you'll get a full refund. Again, when it's a mum that's easily fixed, that's a separate halacha that we'll either get to later today or next week. But at least conceptually, your right when there is a mum is take the item back, give me a full refund. Now, the halacha of mekach tois has nothing to do with the seller being a ganav. You can have many cases where the seller had no idea the item was defective. It was in a closed box. He had no idea. But that's not relevant. As far as the Isser v'Heter, obviously, it'll make a difference. But the reason why I can back out when there's a mum is I bought quality merchandise. You didn't deliver. If you didn't deliver, the whole deal is a toys. The deal is a mistake. And I have the right to say, let's undo it. Give me back, here's the item, give me back the money. So whether or not the seller knew is totally irrelevant. The bottom line is he did not deliver what he was supposed to. And since he didn't deliver, I have the right to return the item and I'm entitled to the money back regardless of whether he knew and regardless or not whether he's going to be able to return it to his supplier. If he bought it from a factory in China, and if there's any defect, there's no way in the world he's ever going to see a dime back that he paid. It's totally irrelevant. The bottom line, I walked into a store, I bought the goods. If there's a defect, he has to give me a refund. Then his issue with the supplier, his problems, have nothing to do with me. It has nothing to do with this particular deal. In many cases, if I walk in and I made a kinyan on a specific item, and that item is defective, so then the deal is off. On the other hand, if I order something where it's a psika, and now he delivers, the first one is defective, there already may be different, because there, his responsibility is to deliver this type of goods. If he didn't do that, because it had a defect, he'll give you the other one. But in contrast, when I come in, I pick this up here, I'm buying this, here's the money. So there, it was a kinyan on this item, and to the extent that the kinyan on this item is void, then no one has any further responsibilities to the other person. Correct. If you order it, and they deliver it, the same way if they deliver the wrong item, and you call them up, they'll tell you, okay, fine, the deal's not off, now we'll deliver the right item. But that's very different. It's a very different transaction than when I buy a specific thing. Because there, to the extent that this is a mekar tois, the deal is off.
What's considered an order? If you're buying, for example, a heavy appliance, yeah, I can just walk over to
that's true.
The washing machine. You walk in the store, can I buy a Maytag washing machine?
Correct. And if by mistake they mix up the order and they deliver a Kenmore, and you call them up, then the response is going to be, okay, we delivered the wrong thing, we'll deliver the right thing tomorrow. That's not a mekach tois, it's a delivery betois. But in contrast, when you pick it up, and you're buying a toaster, and you bring the box to the cashier, I'm buying this toaster, and you make a kinyan on this box, and then you open it up and you find a dishwasher. So this kinyan was a tois. Pashtus, yes, but it may depend on the type of defect. You know, so what we saw in the Mishnah today, that there are two types, the Mishnah says there are arba midas mamaychim, there are really conceptually three different types of mistakes in a deal. The first case was Shramses, Yayim v'nim tzachoymetz. You bought a barrel, you thought there was wine inside, and it turns out there's vinegar. You bought the toaster, and it turns out there's a dishwasher. Now, in that case, I think everyone understands, the whole kinyan was a tois. I was being kind of one item, and there's really something else there. So that case is pretty clear. There's no das kinyan. The whole thing is off. Either party can back out. Because the seller was also, he was selling a toaster. He wasn't selling a dishwasher. He was selling wine, not vinegar. So when it's completely different items, the whole deal is off. It's as if nothing happened. Correct. Correct. According to many poskim, the pshat is nothing happened. And you could even argue that if they decide to go ahead with it, he comes home, he needs a dishwasher. And he calls up the seller, and the seller says, it's okay, I'm fine with it. So according to many poskim, you would need a new kinyan then. Now, it's not very hard to make a kinyan. It's in your house. It's in your chatzah. But the whole original deal is completely void according to the way most people understand. The second case is yofos v'nim tzorois. You go to the store and you buy apples. And you're expecting grade A. You come home and you see that a couple of them are rotting. It's grade B. Now, it's apples. You got what you asked for, but it was yofos v'nim tzorois. You didn't get the quality that you were expecting. That case, we say the buyer has the right to back out because the buyer didn't get what he was promised. The seller, on the other hand, is locked in because he promised the apples, the deal was on apples, there was a kinyan here. It was just, it was defective, it was a lower quality. So there, the buyer, there's an anzadi that I died to dachi, he didn't buy it, he has the right to back out. But if the buyer is okay with it, and he wants to keep it, the seller would not be able to back out. Because this is a case where it's not a complete toss. The item delivered was the item that was promised, but it's just a problem with the quality, it's a problem with the mum, and there it's only a one-way deal.
In this second category of Mekatayas, if Lamaisa it turns out there was enough to be Mekatayas, so Lachayr should go both ways. I mean, why is it that mechanics is the difference between the first and his?
So there is a Yisayus Nigashayil of what the pshat in the halacha of Mekach Toys is. In the case of Shnei Minim, the Pashat understanding, and there's a base of Levi like this, is that it's Pashat, the whole Kenyan wasn't a Kenyan. In this second category, so Yafos Minim Sarois, and Mum is L'Choyer the same thing, there's a Kivegar that learns it's an Anan Sadi. It's like it's understood. Just like if I walk into a store and say I'm buying this, but if there's something wrong, I have the right to bring it back. So it's always understood that whenever there's a deal, if there's a mistake, if there's a defect, it's adaita dohachi, that I have the right, if you don't deliver what you promised, I have the right to back out. But if it's an Anan Sadi, if it's a Tanai, the Tanai is only that if you rip me off, I have the right to back out. But if you ripped me off, I'm not giving you the right to back out. But again, it is whether the Moicher has the right to back out, while Lekech still has, is a Machlekes, we'll have to get to later. But the easiest way to understand it is either the Anan Sadi or Pashat Dindra Bonner of Ilav Doi Nisani. The Chacham are not going to lo yehechay teniska. We're not going to let the person who ripped you off now take advantage and get out of the deal. Now this leads us to a very basic question. I think everyone understands, you buy an item, and there's a mum, there's a defect, you have the right to bring it back, you have the right to get a refund. What is the definition of a mum? What makes something defective? And at what point does it rise to a level you have the right to undo the transaction? Now, anyone who deals at all with retail knows that you have a certain amount of customers that are major nudniks. They'll buy something, they'll buy a big item, they'll go over it with an electron microscope, and if they find any blemish, anything, they're going to be yelling and screaming and all over you. On the other hand, most customers are not quite as discriminating. You know, if there's a major defect, they're going to come back. But if it's something very cosmetic, very minor, you probably won't hear from them. What is the halacha? So we hear the Rambam paskins, it's brought down in the Mechaber and in Reish Lamed Beis, that kol she'eskimu olav b'nei hamedina shehu mum, shemachzirim b'mekachzeh, anything which there is a haskama b'nei hamedina, that the norm is, this is a kind of defect that you have the right to bring to undo the deal, machzirin. So if that's the norm, if that's the minhog, you have the right to get a refund. Any defect which people, it's understood, this is not grounds to void a sale. He doesn't have the right to back out. Whenever you do a transaction, unless you speak out otherwise, the presumption is you're going to follow the local norms. And therefore, if this is something that a normal, that typically is considered a mum, that you have the right to get a refund, you're entitled to a refund. If the minhag, if the norm is that people swallow this kind of defect, they don't make a big deal about it, then that is the halacha, and even though you are an istinus, you are a nudnik, you have no right to demand a refund, unless you specify. If you walk into the store and tell them, listen, I want you to know, I am a nudnik, and I am not going to be happy unless it's perfect. So if they don't throw you out of the store, if they sell it to you, then you have the right to come back to them. But in a normal case, where you buy it stam, and you don't warn them beforehand, your right to claim mum and mekach tois is only if this is the kind of thing that would normally be considered a mum and mekach tois. Now, if we look very carefully, let's read the language of the Mechaber very carefully. Mechaber writes, "Kol she'eskimu olav b'nei hamedina, shehu mum, shemachzirin boy mekachzeh." Everyone agrees this is a defect. Shemachzirin boy mekachzeh, that people would return this kind of purchase. What does the Mechaber mean with those words? So the chayyur, what he means is like this: if you're in a svarim store, and you see there's a stack of svarim. And you see, one of them is a little bit, it's a little nicked on the top, the pages are a little bent. So, if they have two of them, what are you going to do? You're going to pick the perfect one. Why not? On the other hand, let's say they only had one left, and it was a little bit nicked. So chances are, if you're, you know, I think most people, they're not such perfectionists, and certainly not when it comes to their svarim, you know, maybe for their cars, yes. So most people, it's, you know, it would not a big deal, they would go ahead and buy it. What happens if it's a little bit more obvious, a little bit more damaged, then could be people would wait. They'd wait until you got it in again. They wouldn't buy it so fast. However, very often you can have a defect, which if he noticed it in the store, he would probably say, you know what, I'll come back next week. I'm fine with the sperm that I have in the house, and I'll wait until there's a perfect one. What happened if he bought it, he took it home, and then he noticed there's an issue? So very often, most people will say, it's not the biggest of deals. Once I have it in the house, after I use it for a week, it's going to look like this anyway. So now that I have it, I'm not going to return it. The Mechaber's Meduyik, that would not be create a Mekach Tois. Because it's not enough that people consider this a defect. What the Mechaber writes is, kol she'eskimu olav b'nei hamedina shehu mum shemachzirin boy mekach zeh. It's so serious that I'm going to return it. It's not enough that it's considered. It has to be that I'm willing to undo the deal. There's the Chavetz El Sasharin takes this even further. He has a case of a shidduch, Where a person did a shidduch and then they realized some information came to light, there was a flaw with the chasm, with the kala. So he says, to be considered a mum, to give the parties the right to back out, it's not just enough that this is considered a flaw. It has to be serious enough that a person would break an engagement or break a shidduch over it. And if it doesn't rise to that level, it's not going to have the din of a mum. Now, based on this, I saw a sefer that wrote that a person bought the house, and after the closing, he realized that it wasn't built to spec. There were very serious issues with the house. However, as you all know, closing costs money. You have to pay a lawyer. He took out a mortgage. There were very large expenses. And therefore, so I saw in a sefer that heyois, even though everyone agrees this is a serious defect, and had you noticed before the closing, you would have made him fix it beforehand. However, since people would not walk away, they wouldn't give back a house because of this defect, we wanted to pass him based on this machaber, they'd be out of luck. And since it's not serious enough to undo the deal, you would not have the right to claim Mekach Tois. Now, you can't take this too far. And I actually had, a few weeks ago, I had a dentaira. Someone put in a granite countertop. And he noticed, after it was in already, that there had been a little crack in the granite. So the company had just taken some sort of strong glue, glued it up, painted it over, and it looked fine. The customer over here was very unhappy. And he said, I'm not happy with this, I want you to take it out, and I want a full refund. The moicher was a little bit of a lamdin. I don't know if he had learned the sugya or he spoke to someone who learned the sugya. And he came with this taina. He said, I've been in business for 20 years. And when I do a kitchen, most people don't even notice this kind. It was a tiny crack and it's fixed up perfectly. Most people wouldn't even notice it. And I have never in my career ever had to rip out a kitchen out of a cabinet because of this kind of minor defect. Therefore, according to the Mechaber, shouldn't be a mum. And tough luck. What's the halacha? So in this case, I think he was wrong for a very simple reason. It's true. In his career, he never had to pull out a kitchen because of this kind of defect. On the other hand, I asked him, what happens when a client notices it? Do they just ignore it and just let you get away with it? He said, no, they call up, they're upset, and I talk to them, and I give them a couple of dollars off, and then we make shalom. So what does that mean? That means this is a mum, which people do not accept. Now, it's true you never ripped up out the kitchen. The reason for that is, for you to rip out the kitchen, you're going to lose every penny that you put in. So it's always worthwhile for you to cut a deal and to pay them off. To make it, it's not worth their while to rip out the kitchen. You'll give them a $500 credit. That's worth more to them. But conceptually, if you would hang up on them and you wouldn't talk to them, it's very likely they would force you to take it out. They're just not forcing you to take it out because you're going to give them another remedy. You're going to give them a credit. You're going to give them another deal. That doesn't mean it's not a mum. So in a case where a person will not accept this mum, he's not going to forget about it. He's not going to say, I bought the house, I bought the counter, I'm moving on. He's going to fight it. The fact that you usually come to a settlement with dollars and cents instead of returning the item doesn't make it not a mum. What the mechaber means is it's the kind of thing which is so minimal that once I'm in, I don't bother with. There, there's a mechila. There, I don't have the right to be chayzer. Now, it's also important to realize that the mechaber is talking about your recourse. When a customer finds the mum after they bought it, they want their money back, there we have to deal with this mechaber, that if it's not enough, if it's something which a normal person wouldn't bring back, you may not have the right to claim Mekach Tois. Mechaber is not discussing the Yisr V'Heter. And it's very mistavra, although again, there is some discussion in the Tahayit Gachroinim, but it's very mistavra that if you know there's a defect here, even though once you manage to sell it to the client and you deliver it, it could be then he won't have any claim. Because it's a minor defect, it's the kind of thing normally people don't go back, so it could be there won't be any tfiyas mamim. But the Yisr G'nevas Das, I think you'll have. Because the Gnevis Das, the Rambam's lashon was Kol HaKoyne Becheskas Dover Sholim B'li Mum Klal. When you buy something, it's with a chazaka, it's with a presumption that it's B'li Mum Klal. It has no defect. So if that's the assumption, and I sell it without explaining to you, there's a mum. That's Gnevis Das. Now, it could be, after the seller is over, gave his das, once a person has it, he won't be able to do anything. There's a mechila, he won't be able to go back. But the iser gnevis das has nothing to do with the chi of mamon. The gnevis das is the fact that I am disappointing your expectations. That by selling it without explaining it, you're assuming it's in perfect condition, and it's not. The iser gnevis das, I would think you would be over either way. So now that we've had two important klalim. Number one, that when there is a mum, when there is a defect, your right is to void the deal. You can't ask for adjustment. You can give back the item, you get a full refund. And the second halacha that we learned is that the definition of a mum is what is based on the minhag, whatever normal people consider a mum. But now there's an important exception. In Siman Reish Lamed Gimel, the Ramah brings down a halacha, it's based on the Trumas Hadeshen, based on Rashi and Beya, of Ayil Masuris. A person walked into a restaurant and asked for Ayil Masuris, which is a certain kind of quality meat. The restaurant or the moicher delivered meat that was not an aisle which was not masuris. So over here, the Trumas Hadeshen says that although normal people don't care whether it is masuris or not, in this case, he says, you do not have the right to back out of the deal, but you have the right to demand a refund for the difference in price. Now, the Achrayim are very troubled by this halacha. What's going on over here? Is this a mum or it's not a mum? If it's a mum, then the halacha is the whole deal should be off. If it's not a mum, why are you entitled to a refund? And more than that, what was the case here? The case over here is you said specifically, I want Ayil Masuris. I want this quality meat. The person didn't deliver what was asked for. So how could it be that the deal still stands and you just make an adjustment for the dollar, for the difference in price? What's going on? If I told you this is what I want and you didn't give it to me, the whole deal should be off. So what it seems to be is, and the way they learn up this halacha, is there's a new category here. Normally, you want to claim mum, it has to be something which is unacceptable to most people. The minhag is this is considered a mum. In our case, most people do not know the difference between the kinds of these types of meats. You have to be a real connoisseur. But what happened in this case? Over here, a connoisseur walked into the store and said, I want this quality meat. So it's something that most people, it makes absolutely no difference. And most people can't even taste the difference. This person is a connoisseur, and he said, I want the better quality stuff. There, Zokta Trumas Adeshen, you're going to have an interesting case. You're not going to be able to claim Ekach Tois, because since this is considered, for all practical purposes, to a normal person, these things are identical. It's not a mum. You can't be choizer. There's no Anan Sadi that I died to the Hachi, you wouldn't have bought. But since you specified, I want this type of thing, there, if there's a price difference between the two, you have the right to demand a refund, even if it's Malchus Mishtos.
Why is it not Ansari?
So that is Machlokes. The ones that argue on this Ramah, and the Aruch HaShulchan says, Roiv Poiskim argue, say your argument. They say, how could it be, if I walked into a store and I said I want Ayil Masuris, and you didn't give it to me, how could it be that I'm stuck with the deal? And they say this can't be, and they argue. What? You're a mafarish. You don't need an outside. It's a giloy. It's a giloy das. But if you walked in and you said that this is what I want, that is what most achroinim say. What the Trumas Hadeshen and the way the Chasam Sofer explains it is that to undo a deal, if I buy goods and the car doesn't work, the transmission is shot. That's a mum. There's an ansadi. People don't buy cars with shot transmissions. In a case where to normal people it makes no difference. So you may have asked for this. But does it mean that if you weren't getting this top quality, you weren't going to buy it at all? Lav dafka. And therefore, according to the Trumas Hadeshen, since it's something that a normal person doesn't care about, even though you specified, unless you made it tonight, you're locked into the deal. You're entitled to a refund because you agreed to pay this price for this quality. But the Trumas Hadeshen is mechadesh that you can't walk away from the deal. There's one exception. And that is, what happens if you're not just a connoisseur? You're allergic. Or you're such a connoisseur, you can't eat any meat that is not an Ayil Masuris. So in that case, where the person is an istinus, There, since he walked in and was specific, he said, I want this type of meat. If it's not delivered, there everyone agrees it's mechatoy. So you can get your money back. But when the person is not an issus, he can eat both. And he eats both of them. He walked in and asked for this higher quality. There, the Trumas Hadeshin has this chiddush that he cannot back out, even though it's not exactly what he wanted. Now, this can happen. We had a very interesting case. They had actually someone in the Chabura, his brother got married. And his mother was planning out this chasana for months. And she made sure, she went in, she ordered a certain shade of the flowers to make sure that exactly matched the wedding gowns. Everything was worked out to a T. Now, the florist didn't realize who they were dealing with. And they sent the flowers that were a shade off. Now, to a normal, okay, I shouldn't say normal, but to at least to all men and to most ladies, being off by one shade is something that you wouldn't notice. On the other hand, to this person, she was devastated. All the work and all the matching, and it just didn't go. So is this a mekach tois? So to say that this is a mum shemachzir and bois a mekach, that there's the minog of hamakim is, if it's off by a shade, it's certainly not. And on those grounds, you would definitely throw out the case. But we have the sugya of ayal masoros. If they said specifically, I want this, and there's a kapeda on that. So here, according to the Ramah, you can't back out. If there's a price difference between the two, you can get that. But over here, there was no price difference, there's no recourse. On the other hand, the Cholkim, the ones that are the Aruch HaShulchan and the other poskim that argue on the Ramah, they say, if I say this specifically, I want this type of thing, and you give something else, since I said it, I have the right to back out. According to most poskim, it's a stake of the dina, and it will probably depend whether they actually paid for the flowers before the chasana or after. Again, there's another issue, the fact that she used the flowers, but that's something which Mirtz Hashem will get to next week.
Would that be a dinner by the service? Or that's a mamish that, let's say you're sitting in a cab, you know, in the middle of a counter, you never notice a dishwasher. But is there? If selling the price, the market price of something with a dent, do I have to point out such a dent to the person, or can I just sell it?
If it's something that I think it's, if it's something that people are not makbid on, it's not a question of they wouldn't return it. Smart or normal? If it's normal, so then this is not considered a mum by most people. Most people would be thrilled to buy, if you gave them a choice, I can give you a few dollars later and get one with a dent on the side, they'd grab it, then it wouldn't be, or even without that, even without the discount, people wouldn't care, so then that's not called a mum. If people do care, but just once it's installed, they're not going to rip it out and bring it back to you, that I would think is Ganeva's Das. So it depends on the car. If it's a new car, you have to point out every dent because people who buy new cars want it to be perfect. On the other hand, if you're buying a 98, you know, Impala, you know good and well it's not new. You don't expect it to run perfectly. The person doesn't have to tell you, by the way, the engine's old. You know, that's understood. And there are going to be a certain amount of nicks and scratches and things like that. You don't have to point it out. It's when there are defects that you wouldn't expect in this a car of that vintage, they're already this Gnevis Das. Because again, the point of Gnevis Das is this is a chazakah. People, when you buy new, it's Dover Shalom Belimum. When you're buying a used car, you expect it to be a used car. And whatever a used car of that vintage should have, you don't have to disclose. But anything worse, you would have a chiv. Again, if you said specifically, that's to the... Okay, very good. So that we're going to have to deal with in a future shiur when there's mechila, or when there's a disclosure, how specific does it have to be? You know, when you buy a used car, especially when the guy is selling you one without a transmission, it always says as is. But does that mean you can now sell the car that's, you know, it's a ticking time bomb, it'll make it home and that's it? Or are there gedarim that we'll have to deal with in the future?
Fine.
We're gonna have, there were two separate issues. Number one, if you could check it out, that would be one issue which we'll deal with. And number two, if you say that there is a mum, or go and you're buying it as is, we're going to have to deal with that with the mechila as well. It's two separate issues. We're going to have to deal with both of them. No, it wasn't that. It was the shidduch had a penalty for breaking off the shidduch. They used to make a shvua and a cheirim, and there was a knas. They used to, when they made a shidduch, there was a knas. That if you wanted to break off the shidduch, you paid a certain penalty. And the question was, now that new information came to the light, are you still bound to this knas? So to the right, to the extent that the whole deal was a toyus, you're not bound to your commitment. Fine, but that. That's true, and it certainly is a chiddush. But the point is, if you think about it, the Ganeva's das, the fact that it was also to go into it, that, let's put that aside. But our question is, why am I allowed to break a deal because of a mum? Because there's an anansadi that had I known this, I would want to get out, and therefore I'm not committing on this tzad. Now, to the extent that every time I make this commitment, every time I make a shidduch, by definition, breaking it creates is a mum on my end. There's no longer an ansadi, because many people, if not most people, would accept this mum once they're in the shidduch. And since they would accept it, whatever the reason is, we no longer have an umdana that you would break off when you find out this information. So you may not have wanted to get into it in the first place, but when you make the kinyan and it's understood, and the fact is that once the kinyan is made, a person would not break it for this information. That's no longer a mum. Certainly. Because more than that, because